over, he'll cause man to give back into your bosom. He's a God that he cannot lie.
Go ahead. Are you through? You can.
Okay. I've got a whole row of special people here today. And Wade, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to come here and stand by me a minute, sweetheart. You're talking about miracles. We're all miracles that we woke up this morning. But this is my nephew, Wade Whitlock. And y'all remember, it's been over a year that we stood in faith with him, as probably the whole town did that knew him, stood in faith. He needed a kidney and liver transplant immediately. Well, the first thing that happened, he got it. And the next thing that happened, it saved his life. The doctors did a beautiful job. And he said his heart's desire was for he and his mother and his son that's here today and his wife and those precious little babies was that he would get a report that he wouldn't have to go back and see the doctor for a year. Well, they went last week, and the doctor said, I don't need to see you for a year. Now, let me tell you, that's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love you, and Amen. I'm so proud of you. I didn't mean to tell you testimony,
okay.
But I wanted to.
It's all good.
Amen.
God is good.
God is Amen. Good all the time.
Amen.
I'm so proud you're here, baby.
I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. Amen. I mean, that'll encourage you, won't it?
Yes.
Amen. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I
That's wanted. Good. And you know what? Every one of us could stand up and testify one right after the other of all the things that God's just done this week. Not just last week, last year, but just this week. Because we serve a good God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever even ask or think. And he said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Woo! Lord, I just praise you and I just thank you, God. You're so good, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. There's people in here that need finances. Lord, they need vehicles. They need raises. They need promotions. They need increase. God, you said ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So this morning, I want you to agree with me, congregation, that every need you have is going to be met. Lord, I thank you if it's jobs they need, you'll open doors for them that no man can close. Lord, I thank you. Every need is met in this place. Healing, wholeness, whatever it is, Lord. Every need met, nothing missing, nothing broken. And the blessing of God is on this offering. On this tithe this morning, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you with it. In Jesus' name, come and give in faith.
Amen.
Come to worship you. We come to lay down our lives at your feet. We come to adore and offer our praise.
so? That sounds better, don't it? Do I need to start over? No. We're so glad that she's able to come, and what a talent she is, and what a great person she is. And so we're just delighted that this all worked together. So just sit back. Take your shoes off if you don't tear. Without foot washing if you do that. Praise God. So anyway, it's good to see you all. I just want to brag on you a little bit. I think y'all the best. God makes, he thinks y'all the best. He makes the best. He don't make junk. My goodness, we're in a good place. If you're with Jesus, you're in the only place. Amen? Praise God. Well, praise God. So without further ado, as they say, Brenda, come on. And let's all give her a big hand clap as she comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brenda wrote this song, so she's going to explain some things about it. So praise God. Amen. I think she's recruited her some help.
They're on program, too.
She told me she's getting those with the good knees to get up the... No.
Yeah, I was going to let those with good knees get up real quick and help me. Y'all just pass this one. It is such an honor to be here this morning, and you did such a good job. I just want to add one thing about Wade. You know, when we were there back in the summer, one of the doctors on the transplant team came into the room where we were sitting, and she laid her little pad down, and she looked at both of us, and she said, "You know, Wade, I don't know if we've, said, we haven't talked about this, but said, you do know you were dying when you came here the second time, when he was going back for that second transplant." We knew that. We had talked about it, but none of them had ever discussed it with us. But it gave us a chance to witness to her, which they knew it too. They had already known that a higher power had taken over in Wade's situation. And we knew that the folks all in this community and around the world were praying for Wade. And I just wanted to add that to it. And I just glorify God this morning for the miracle that he worked in Wade's life. I love him this morning. And I've asked these girls to help me, assist me here. And I wanted to share with you just briefly how God gave me this song before I sang it. Sid and I had traveled over in the Pontotoc area one night to a revival meeting. And the minister took his text out of the second chapter of Joshua. Though I had read this chapter, but this story had never unfolded to me as it did that night in that message. And these are just a few highlights of that chapter that I pulled out that spoke to my heart and allowed me to write this song. God wrote the song. I used the pen to do that. Joshua sent two men from the Israelites to spy out the land of Jericho. They came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. As the king of Jericho, being told of the spies, sent a message to Rahab saying, "You bring these men to me who have come to you, for they have come to search out all the country." But Rahab took the two men and she hid them on the roof and covered them with flax. She begged them to swear to her by the Lord, "Since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a token true. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." And they assured her, "Our lives for you we give, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down." Rahab's heart was tender to the voice of God, and the Lord has always had someone in key position to carry out his prophetic plan. You believe that, don't you? I do. My prayer today is that I may possess a tender heart always and listen to his voice should he send a messenger my way. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Go ahead. And I pray that you are blessed today. The title of this song, The Scarlet Thread. There was a sinful woman in the days of long ago, who ran a house of ill repute, all the bad seed she would sow. But God used her to lend a hand when the spies she hid and led. She had come in touch with that sacred scarlet thread. Its strength is forever, holy woven in each strand, stained deep like crimson, all within its plan. It brings together all who hold it, and it weaves a path of red, shielding all who touch it. It is the scarlet thread. For her deeds of kindness, she asks for a token true. Give me all my family and bring them safely through. And they replied unto her, our lives for you we give. Just bind the line of scarlet thread and your family will live. Its strength is forever, holy woven in each strand, stained deep like crimson, protecting all within its plan. It brings together all who hold it, and it weaves a path of red, shielding all who touch it. It is the scarlet thread. Don't you love him today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sweet. The king sent someone to tell her, you bring forth these men to me. But she would faithfully keep her word. She wanted her family free. So she hid them on the housetop and obeyed them as she said. She was holding on to that precious scarlet thread. Its strength is forever, holy woven in each strand, stained deep like crimson, protecting all within its plan. It brings together all who hold it, and it weaves a path of red, shielding all who touch it. It is the scarlet thread. We're no more than mortal beings, we're just longing to be led, holding to that string of hope known as the scarlet thread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise your name, Jesus.
Wow. I tell you what, I've heard that song several times, but the last time's always the best. Amen. Glory to God. The words of that song are so powerful and so true, based around the Word of God. Thank you, Brenda. We thank God for you, your whole family. And well, I invite Miss Suzanne to come forward. She's our adult Sunday school teacher. She's taught this in Sunday school and had so many people say, we need to get her to share that in church. And I said, okay, we'll do it. So we got her here today, and let's give her a hand clap. Amen. Praise God.
All right, now can you hear me?
Yeah!
Yeah. I believe in miracles. Thank you.
Let's start with the word of prayer. Father, we just, I thank you. I thank you, Father, this morning for the opportunity that you've given me to share this. And I come with humble obedience and just ask that every word that I say this morning will give you honor and glory and praise, and that it will make a difference.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
This morning I was kind of meditating and praying about, as I was going over this, and had the weirdest thing came to my mind. Of course, people in our Sunday school class know that that's real common. So, but I thought, you know, I'm really just kind of like a carrier pigeon. You know what a carrier pigeon is? You know, they give a message. Yep. And I went, I'm really just like a carrier pigeon this morning. I'm just bringing something that God showed me, and I'm just going to give it to you this morning. Doug, or whoever's up there. Yeah, there we go. So this morning we're going to talk about a color that is found in the King James Version of the Bible 52 times. Six of those times are in the New Testament, and that is the color scarlet. Okay. The Hebrew words that together translate into this color's English name are Tola and Shani. Its use in scripture can symbolically represent royalty that is found in Daniel, Matthew, Mark, and John, or the color is the power to rule like a king in Revelation. Scarlet was a color used extensively in the wilderness tabernacle built by Moses. It was also commonly found not only in Jerusalem's temple, but also on the clothes worn to serve in that temple. It was an important part of the temple rites that cleansed lepers in ceremonies of purification. The Bible states also that warriors wore clothes colored in scarlet. So as Brenda so beautifully said this morning, there is a scarlet thread or a scarlet cord that is said to run throughout Scripture. We see the scarlet thread of redemption beginning in Genesis as it weaves together the hides of animals that were slaughtered in the Garden of Eden to provide garments for Adam and Eve. Okay, Doug. The first time we come across the word scarlet, tola shani, is in Genesis 38. It's the story of Tamar. Genesis 38, 27 through 30 in the Amplified. Now when the time came for her to give birth, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one baby put out his hand, and the midwife took his hand and tied a scarlet thread on it, saying, "This one was born first." But he pulled back his hand, and his brother was born first. And she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself to be the firstborn." So he was named Perez, meaning breach or break forth. Afterward, his brother who had the scarlet thread on his hand was born and was named Zerah, meaning brightness. So briefly, this was a woman named Tamar who was the daughter-in-law of Judah, who was one of Joseph's brothers. And she got pregnant through Judah. Now, if you're not familiar with this story, I encourage you to go to Genesis 38 and read it, because it's kind of like, you know, you go to the grocery store, you see those magazines on the rack. The story of Tamar is kind of like one of those things you might read. It's just like, wow. But, you know, the Bible is really full of stories like that. So when it came time to give birth, Tamar's midwife discovered that twins would be born. One of the babies stuck his hand out of the womb and looked like he would be the firstborn. The midwife tied a special colored thread around his hand. Now, anciently, a scarlet thread was commonly used to designate the firstborn. So after receiving the thread, the baby quickly pulled his arm back into the womb, and the other child to be born, who was also a boy, then came out of the womb completely. The child who had the thread around his hand received the name Zerah, and his twin brother received the name Perez. My Bible footnote says that Zerah can mean scarlet or brightness. Judah, who was Tamar's father-in-law, was destined, according to the Bible, to be the royal tribe of Israel, from which rulers would arise. It is through Perez's descendants, that child who was literally born first, that not only King David is born, but also Jesus Christ as well. Now, many years later, the scarlet thread made a reappearance in a familiar story about Rahab. Brenda just sang about it. And so you remember the two spies sent into Jericho to check out the land before they invaded it. And the king of Jericho heard about these spies and ordered Rahab to bring them out, but she had hidden them on the roof. And because she protected them, she made a deal with them. Okay, next. Now, in Joshua 2, 12 through 21. And since Brenda has already gone through that, I'm not even going to go there. You don't want to hear that twice anyway, do you? So, let's go to the next. So the last verse, in the last verse, verse 21, says she sent them on her way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The idea of the scarlet cord, the scarlet thread, parallels the story of the Passover blood on the door frames of the Jewish homes in Egypt. The final plague of Egypt, if you remember, was to wipe out the firstborn in all of Egypt. But God had promised the Hebrew homes that if they placed the sign of blood on their doorpost, they would be spared. And that's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. They were to roast a lamb for a meal, take the blood of that lamb, mark the door frames of their homes. And if this was done, their lives would be spared. So Joshua's spies were most likely there during that miracle of the first Passover. And no doubt that came to mind when they asked Rahab to place that scarlet cord in the window. You know, I imagine they were thinking, we will pass over you and your family as Yahweh passed over us. Rahab was not of Hebrew descent, so there would be no Passover lamb to take the blood from. A scarlet cord could stand in the place of the blood. Now, Rahab became the wife of Salmon. Salmon was one of the two spies that she hid on the roof. And then she married Boaz. No, then she became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth. Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, and it was through this line that Jesus was born. The word scarlet that is used in Joshua 2:21 in describing that cord is the same Hebrew word, shani, that we talked about earlier. But it's also the word for a very specific worm called the scarlet or the crimson worm. Duh. In Psalm 22, which is a prophecy given by David about the crucifixion of Jesus, this is what it says, Psalm 22:6 in the Passion. But look at me now. I am like a woeful worm, crushed, and I'm bleeding crimson. I don't even look like a man anymore. I've been abused, despised, and scorned by everyone. Okay, Doug? The Hebrew word for worm is tola, which is also the word for crimson or scarlet. Tola was a certain worm in the Middle East that, when crushed, bled a crimson color so strong it was used as a dye for garments of linen and wool in biblical days. When you read in the Bible about the garments in the Old Testament that were scarlet, that's how they got scarlet, by this worm. Jesus was not saying he was a despised worm, but that he will bleed as he is crushed for our sins. The word worm used in this psalm refers to that same scarlet worm. When we see the word scarlet or crimson in the Bible, it usually refers to this specific scarlet-colored worm. When we look at the life cycle of this scarlet worm, we see an amazing revelation. When the scarlet worm is ready to give birth, it will find a tree or the trunk of a tree and plant its body firmly in the wood, never to leave again. The worm lays eggs under the shell, and the young would then be born. The body of the scarlet worm is used as protection and food for the young. Until the children are ready to live on their own, this scarlet worm gives itself in order for them to live. As the scarlet worm dies, it releases a scarlet fluid that stains the children scarlet red. They receive their identity as scarlet worms by the death of the one who gives them life. Wow. Isn't that cool?
That's cool?
The little ones will then go from that place and live in their identity released over them. After 3 days, the body of the mother turns white and falls from the tree trunk like a snowflake, pure white in color. Within this phenomenon of nature lies the whole salvation plan of Jesus. I am a worm and no man, all of a sudden, makes perfect sense. He gave his life for us on the tree, on the cross of Calvary. His wounded, battered, and bruised body gives us life as we are stained by the blood of the Lamb to become the covenant children of the King when we are reborn. After 3 days, he rose again to overcome death, giving us life in him and cleansing us from our sins. God promised a Redeemer, one to wipe clean the sins of the world. One of the most recognized verses in the Old Testament that include the word scarlet is found in the prophetic writings of Isaiah. Isaiah 1:18 in the Passion says, "Come now and let's deliberate over the next steps to take together." Yahweh promises you over and over, though your sins stain you like scarlet, I will whiten them like bright new fallen snow. Even though they are deep red like crimson, they will be made white like wool. The Hebrew word translated as scarlet in this verse is the word shani, the picture of the scarlet worm that when crushed bleeds a deep crimson color and then is used to dye fabric, a permanent color. Jesus called himself a worm while on the cross as the one who was crushed and bleeding crimson blood. Now, scarlet is not only tied into the concept of sin, but it was also used within the confines of the Jewish temple. Scarlet and crimson are united together in the temple curtains and veils. In Exodus, this scarlet material was used for the making of the priestly garment known as the ephod. This beautiful garment of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet was made for the high priest. So it's interesting then that before Jesus was hung on the cross, they beat and mocked him and dressed him in a scarlet robe. Okay, Doug. Matthew 27:27-31 in the Passion. Then the guards took him into their military compound where a detachment of nearly 600 soldiers surrounded him. They stripped off his clothing and placed a scarlet robe on him to make fun of him. Then they braided a crown of thorns and set it on his head. After placing a reed staff in his right hand, they knelt down before him and irreverently mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat in his face and took the reed staff from his hand and hit him repeatedly on his head, driving the crown of thorns deep into his brow. When they finished ridiculing him, they took off the scarlet robe and put his own clothes back on him and led him away to be crucified. If scarlet represents sin that will be redeemed, then Jesus, having that scarlet robe placed on him and then taken off of him, is like a word picture. Our sins placed on him, and through his death, our sins are stripped away. Jesus was also mocked as the King of the Jews, and it was implied as one who wore the scarlet robe that he was mocked as the high priest of the Jews. Now, this was a concept that was more familiar to the Jewish people at that time. Jesus was stripped of his scarlet robe and sent to the cross to be a crimson worm, his red blood shed like the sacrificial lamb of Passover. Every instance of the scarlet thread leads up to Jesus' death on the cross. The scarlet thread of Jesus' blood began in Genesis, and it ends with his second coming and his victory over Satan. Revelation 9:12-13 in the Amplified says, "His eyes are a flame of fire, And on his head are many royal crowns, and he has a name inscribed on him which no one knows or understands except himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, this is just a glimpse of the scarlet thread that runs throughout every book of the Bible. But this is what's interesting. On July 16th, the Temple Institute in Israel organized an historic event, the first Tola Shani, that crimson worm, harvest in the land of Israel in perhaps 2,000 years. The immediate purpose for that event was to gather crimson worms for the purpose of creating a 16-meter-long belt for the priestly garments that are now, right now, being produced by the Temple Institute. The long-term goal was to educate a new generation about this elusive Tola Shani crimson worm, how to harvest it, how to produce from it the crimson dye prescribed in the Torah for a number of temple-related purposes. They're getting ready. This dye was used on the priest's belt. The scarlet wool tied onto the scapegoat on Yom Kippur, and one of the essential ingredients for producing the ashes of the red heifer. And I won't go into that right now. There's a Jewish university professor who discovered the worm was being harvested in the mountains of Turkey and being grown in the plantations in South America, where they were used commercially as food color. So it was ironic that only after he traveled abroad that he discovered these Tola Shani worms that he had been so diligently studying were literally 50 feet from his own front door in their favorite nesting ground in Israel, the common Israeli oak tree. Okay, Doug. The scarlet wool that was tied onto the scapegoat was on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 16. It was a day when the sins of Israel were covered for 1 year. The high priest offered a sacrifice for his own sins and then selected two young male goats, which he presented to the Lord. He drew lots, kind of like throwing dice, you know. He drew lots, and one lot determined which goat would be the Lord's goat that would be killed, and the other would be the scapegoat that would be set free. The high priest tied a scarlet rope made of wool around the neck of the Lord's goat and another scarlet rope around the horns of the scapegoat. The high priest killed the Lord's goat, caught its blood in a bowl, and took the blood into the Holy of Holies in the temple, where he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, which was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. He then went to the scapegoat, and he laid his hands on the scapegoat and confessed the sins of the people. A designated person then led that scapegoat out of the temple into the wilderness where it was released. The scapegoat represented escaping punishment for sin because the Lord's goat was killed as a sacrifice for sins. The scapegoat was set free. There were two goats, but just one offering. It takes both goats to understand what God wants us to see. Killing a goat meant that someone or something had to die for their sins. The death of the Lord's goat meant that God will accept a substitute for our sins. The the second goat demonstrated the need to remove guilt. The high priest laid his bloody hands on the scapegoat and confessed the people's sins. And then that goat was carried off into the wilderness where the sins were forgotten. This choosing of two goats, killing one and letting the other go, was played out when Pontius Pilate brought two men before the multitude. He asked for one to be killed and one to be set free. Just as a scarlet rope was put on the Lord's goat, a scarlet robe was put on Jesus. Two men stood before Pontius Pilate. One was Jesus Christ, and you know the other was Barabbas. It was the custom to release one prisoner at Passover. And I never made that connection before about the goats and Passover. Pontius Pilate brought Jesus and Barabbas before the crowd and asked which one they wanted released. Of course, the people chose Barabbas. Jesus was sacrificed like the Lord's goat. He became our substitute and died in our place. Barabbas was set free like the scapegoat. This is a picture of Jesus dying for our sins and us walking away free. In Exodus 30 and Leviticus 16, after the high priest released that scapegoat into the wilderness, Scripture tells us he washed his hands. Do you remember what Pontius Pilate did when he released Barabbas? He washed his hands. The sins of Israel were forgiven for 1 year. Through Jesus, our sins are forgiven forever. God said, I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more, in Hebrews 8:12. So innocent Jesus took the blame, and we are like the guilty Barabbas. We just walk away free. So now you know why two goats were offered on the Day of Atonement and the significance of the scarlet cord and the scarlet worm. It all has significance today and in the future as we see the day approaching when he will return. Amen.
Wow. The whole day has just been fascinating. When you see how meticulous God puts everything together, He never does anything haphazardly. Everything's done with a purpose and a time and a place. And thank God, with a reason. Everybody sitting in this room, everybody that's alive, that's ever lived, He did it all for us. Your life has a purpose as well. He died for us on purpose. Won't we live for Him on purpose? Amen. I'm going to ask Brenda to come, if she doesn't mind, and sing this song again. And this will be an invitation. If you'd like to come, just pray and just talk to God or whatever. But you connect with Him today. He died on purpose. It started in Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation. That scarlet thread runs right through it. And you'll never get away from it. I don't care how far you go, that thread will be there. So you hold on to it. And one of the things that was in that song and the scripture that you read, Brenda, Rahab said, not just for me, but for my family. You take hold of that scarlet robe, that scarlet thread, and claim your family. There's scripture for that as well. Beside that. I'm telling you, God is the most fascinating, awesome being you will ever talk to. He's beyond figuring out, but He had me figured out as He did you. And maybe this is the day you need to reconnect and grab hold of that scarlet thread. Amen? And don't let go of it. Could be that prayer your grandmother prayed for you a long time ago. When she asked God, "Don't forget my family." I think we need to come. Make that commitment to the Lord. Just you and God. And lay hold of the blood of Jesus that washed our sins white as snow. Let's do it today. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. God knows. And He did it on purpose. Brenda?
So beautifully done, Suzanne. So beautiful. Go ahead.
There was a sinful woman in the days of long ago who ran a house of ill repute. Oh, the bad seed she would sow. But God used her to lend a hand when the spies she hid and led. She had come in touch with the sacred scarlet thread. Its strength is forever holy woven in each strand, stained deep like crimson, protecting all within its plan. It brings together all who hold it, and it weaves a path of red, shielding all who touch it. It is the scar. Ask for a token true. Give me all my family and bring them safely through. And they replied unto her, "Our life for yours we give. Just by forth these
Wow. Okay.
Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Father. Brenda, the Lord would have you to know today, my daughter, I am well pleased, but my call on your life has not lifted, says the Lord. My power, in the words of your song, and my message has not lifted, says the Lord. The Lord says, my daughter, in this end time, you will be more anointed. You're going to have the words of my song, my message, says the Lord, flow and well up in you in the night hours, in the day hours. It will consume you, and you will have to. It'd be like the paper is on fire as you write it down. Because I have ordained this from the foundations of the earth. And daughter, do not say in your heart, I am older now. Do not say, I can't do the things I once did, because you can do all things through me who strengthens you, my daughter. I am using you mightily. I will continue to use you mightily. For my message is to this lost and dying world, says the Lord. And it's a message of hope and glory. All that I have bought and paid for, and I will use you mightily, my daughter, to bring this to pass in these end time. So, daughter, be prepared. Be prepared and be strengthened, but be encouraged. For I have ordained it, I have anointed it, and you shall see the glory of your Lord come to pass.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Wow, what a day. Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just praise the Lord here for a minute. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done in this place today. Lord, the revelation you brought to us to rekindle fires, Lord God, that had been smoldering, going out, and we wondered how to do it. It's through the Word of God and the power of the resurrection. That, Lord, you loved us so much, you would go through all of this and weave it all together. What a tapestry. So beautiful. Greatest love story ever told. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank you, Lord God. You've been resurrected. The price is paid. But it's only through you can we receive the salvation. So at this moment, Lord God, if there's anyone in this building, or if we need to all ourselves just reflect, commit, whatever you need to do in your heart with the Lord, do it now. You have to move when the Lord's moving. He will draw now to you. So, Lord God, today, I pray that you purify all of our hearts, all of our spirits, all of our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our words. That, Lord God, will forever see, feel, and know the meaning of the crimson. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we say we're forever yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Suzanne. Magnificent job. Magnificent. That ought to make you come to Sunday school. Amen. So praise God. Let's give Brenda and Suzanne a big hand clap. And the Lord. Jesus is what it's all about. Let's stand to our feet because we're about to be dismissed. Thank you all for coming today. Again, y'all the best. And we just give God praise for all he's doing in our lives. And the more we know about him, the more we love him. And that's never a bad thing. Amen. So praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place today. The moving of the Holy Spirit, perfectly organized by the Holy Spirit, does great things in our lives. So Lord, as we leave now to go home and do whatever we have to do today, Lord God, I'll be back today at 5 to pray and praise you. and at 6. Lord, we just love you so much. Dismiss us now in the knowledge of your wonderful word and the power of the strength of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
Be sure and tell someone you love them and God loves them. And if you see someone you don't know, introduce yourself. God is good. Amen. Praise God.